So having said that, I just want to speak a little more. It happens to relate very well, you know, to the topic that we were discussing in Avos, in our Monday sessions, and that we were discussing, you know, the question of Eved Zahir, you know, the mitzvah kala kibachamura, she'ena tayodeh matan scharan, you know, shall mitzvos. And I was trying to make several points last time, so I just want to continue with that for a few minutes. One of which is that the way that, you know, Rashi and the Rambam, you know, understand this is that there are hierarchies, you know, in mitzvos, but that there's a certain charm, I guess, certain benefit in, you know, not having all the information, you know, about them. And that's like, typically, it's like a very, you know, it's a bit of a peculiar notion in general, and especially for Yahadus. You know, we're not afraid of knowledge, you know, but I guess the stakes, you know, are significant enough, you know, that being a little bit benighted, you know, a little bit in the dark, you know, even for a religion that accentuates, you know, Haskel V'Yadoa Osi, you know, and Talmud Torah and the rational part, you know, I guess the stakes have to be very high in order to justify that. And, you know, they are. Shema nosim b'chaz schara l'kala, says Rashi, kimo ala chamura, shalafikach lo nizgalu matan schara in shal mitzvos, l'ma davar domen, they all quote Devarim Rabbah in other places, l'mela shomel avodav tolu b'scharchem kach v'kach, v'ikonsu l'pardes, v'chorshu bo, v'tiknu bo, called Sarko, but part of how Ilanos Chashuvim, Mishenim Chashuvim, Ilo Hay Omer Lahem, Ilan Ploni Tov, the Ilan Ploni Ra, the Titlu Scharchem, Bazekiflaim Mize, or Kulam Hochen Etzalatov. The Kachomar, you know, Bistam. Kacha Yakarish Barhu, Logila, Matan Scharan, Shamitzes, Kadesha Layurat Sadam, right? Achar Mitzvos. How does it go here? Achar mitzvos. I'm trying to find the. They have so many perushim on this page. Achar mitzvos shascharon meruba v'leyachosh laosan. You know, shascharon muat. So the Rambam also very similar. The Rambam says the only thing that the Rambam says is that the Rambam believes, and I think this is open to question, that, you know, we do know like the hierarchy of Lavin. We just don't know the hierarchy of Esed. So that's, you know, Hevizar b'mitzvah kala kibachamura, according to the Rambam, means Essen, as opposed to Lavin. Shatora kula memana mitzvah sase, memana mitzvah slo sase, memana mitzvah slo sase, bera kasava onesh al kalachas mehen, milvad hama'at mehen. Right? V'heim shimona madregos, he talks about the onshim. I don't think that's so poshut either, that the onshim are a reflection only. Of course, they matter. You know, whether they really, really reflect completely, accurately, you know, exhaustively, the hierarchy. I'll get to that later. But Bavo mitzvah sasei lo hisbar skar kalachas kedei shelo neida ezo mitzvah tzorich ma'od l'shamra ezo mitzvah lamata himenu. Avo tzivalasos inim ploni uploni v'lo idia skar ezo mishnei miyoseh gadol etz Hashem yisbarach u'mipnei zeh. This, of course, is very interesting. In that sense, what Rashi is saying in general, the Rambam is saying about mitzvah sasei, mostly. This is the interesting part. Again, you could argue, but Amru ha'osek mitzvah patar min mitzvah mi bilti hakasha, right, bein mitzvah sasher misasek behem ubeinu achera sasher tevatzer mimenu. L'zeh gam kein amru ein mavirin ala mitzvos. Meaning, you know, but that, it's a little bit mechudash to say that, meaning if we knew, you know, we might not say it. Actually, it raises more of a question, you know, than it answers, because if the Rambam's saying there is a hierarchy, we just don't know it, and he's implying that if we did know it, you know, then that would have impact in terms of priority, you know, then it's strange in a way, because Osek Mitzvah Patzim and Mitzvah becomes like the casualty, you know, B'dieved, you know, of not knowing, you know, the hierarchy, which I think that's a big conclusion to reach. If that's true, so then it only further, I guess, accentuates, you know, that the payoff, or if you want to say in the negative way, the payoff of not knowing or the downside of knowing, you know, is, you know, the payoff of, we'll say, of not knowing, even justifies, you know, improper, you know, priority. That's like, that's a price you have to pay, but that's, you know, the, from a system-wide point of view, that, you know, that's a price, you know, that's worthwhile. So I find that difficult from several points of view, but I think that that's the, you know, bigger idea. The Rambam then goes on to say that you do know, and this I think also you could argue with, that even though we don't know schar mitzvahs, but whenever a schar mitzvah, whenever a mitzvah is correspondent to a particular aveira, like, you know, there's an asay and a lav, so then, you know, from the lav, we can also figure out the, you know, the quality or the hierarchy, you know, of the mitzvah. And that, I think, is also interesting. Achakach Amar, that's how he interprets the continuation. The apapi shelo is bayer shir chiv of a mitzvah. La mitzvah, yesh bem tzad hakasha. That's the pshat, according to him, of having mechashev hefsed mitzvah keneged schara, meaning you can figure out the hierarchy, you know, in these cases. We'll see how other people, you know, interpret. So again, I think that there are, you know, are a lot of assumptions. Important just to know what Rambam Shita is, and as I say, the takeaway. But the idea that whenever there's a lav, you know, that that also highlights the quality of the assay, I think is really open to dispute. First of all, sometimes when there's an assay and a lav, they're, you know, two mechayvim, not the same, not mirror images of each other. Also, you know, in some cases, if the lab is like a consequence of the severity or the opportunity of the assay, then I think it's true that the fact that it has a lab, especially the more chomer the onesh, the more compelling, right, the requirement of the assay. But in the other direction, something can be a lab, you know, and as a kiyum. And again, it's just the spillover. Not only are you, you know, not allowed to do this, but, you know, you even have to kind of demonstrate your negation of it, you know, through an assay. But it isn't the assay per se. The assay is just to reflect. Let's go back to the first point I made, which is if there are, you know, two mechayiv, or even if there's only one mechayiv, if the mechayiv is the lav, and the assay is just like a reflection of, you know, spillover consequence, you know, added expression of it, I'm not sure that that makes it a more formidable assay vis-a-vis standalone essence or other essence. So I just think this is interesting, you know, interesting perspectives, you know, in the Rambam. And, you know, fine. But, you know, basically both Rashi and the Rambam are basically, you know, not paranoid, but they're expressing a certain, you know, danger, right, in having too much, like, information about the hierarchy, you know, because they are, you know, concerned that one be irreverent, that one ignore, you know, the rest. And the question is, like, why? And even at, as I say, some cost, according to the Rambam, Osek Mitzvah, you know, and so on. And I think, you know, that there are multiple answers for that. They all go back, you know, to even within this worldview, but they all go back to, like, another way to understand this Mishnah. Again, you know, for Rashi and Rambam and most, it's like, oh, there's a hierarchy, but. And of course, the other way to understand the Mishnah is that either there's no hierarchy, or that the question of hierarchy, at least, is a much more complex and double-edged, you know, kind of an issue. One aspect of that is what I began to speak about last time. I was quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, in the beginning of Avos, on, you know, Asu Siag LaTorah, and his idea that, you know, in some respects, you know, certainly from a Yiras Shamayim point of view, a siag, you know, packs more punch, than the Chafetz Shel Mitzvah. Precisely because, from a tochen point of view, it's less, and it really tests your discipline, and you know your yira. And I gave the example also. Who came in a way having that quality, perhaps, and he speaks very specifically in that context about how important Yiras Shamayim is to the whole structure, and so on. But I think what that really tells us is that there also are different hierarchies. This is something we spoke about last time, too. But I mean it in different ways. Number one, there just happen to be different hierarchies. At least one could strongly make that case, and I spoke on that last time. The Harid Vayavars, the Kari Amuna, the Aseres HaDibros, and down the line, Lavin and Essen, Abba and Yira, those kind of things. By the way, I mean, this is something we do all the time, obviously, but even in terms of a very specific exemplification of it, we spent some time in the Pidyon Shvuyim topic, discussing, for example, the relationship between Pidyon Shvuyim, Bechiras Sefer Torah, Bechiras Beis HaKnesses, or, how that fits in to the Sugya, in Megillah, according to the Rambam, according to the according to the Bach, according to the Beis Yosef, all these things, Tosas and the Taz and the Sma and the Shach and the all these questions. And what we saw again is that for some, like Mefarshim, many, the initial assumption, certainly at least in these cases, doesn't mean they'll say it in all cases, is like, oh yeah, there's a linear hierarchy. But we tried to show, especially for the Rambam, and in some cases for others, is that it's not always so simple. There's a different, Malam Bakodesh is different than an emergency situation where you have to do triage and pick something. And the hierarchies are not, sometimes there are internal things, and sometimes there are, there's a value in terms of accomplishing, and there's a value in terms of, not... disrupting, the system and so on. So the question of, there being over, multiple hierarchies for different things, for Kiddush Hashem, for Chomer Saveira, for, what's a linchpin, for the Chomer Hadavar, for, opportunities for negative expression, so on, I think it is a lot more accurate, than just, the assumption that there always is a straightforward hierarchy, but sometimes within... Sometimes you do have that assumption. But I think it's also complicated in another way, and that is kind of what Rabbeinu Yonah was saying. Because Rabbeinu Yonah isn't denying, that a siag is only a din d'rabbanan, and he's not. His whole point is that, you don't need to prop up a chafetz shel mitzvah, the same way, and you don't have the same kind of challenge in terms of, being scrupulous, or reverent, about it, as you do, regular mitzvah, because it's a chafetz shel mitzvah d'oraisa. So in a way, what he's saying is, hierarchy is clear and it's there, and yet, the real litmus test, and therefore sometimes, the hierarchy, goes with the siyag. And I think we have that, here as well, like in this Mishnah, the Meiri. I think it's the Meiri, let's see. Yeah, has an interesting formulation. Again, he too acknowledges that there is a hierarchy. Yeah. But what he says is that, you know, despite the hierarchy, you know, it's complicated. Hatam sheyesh shenatay de matan scharn shel mitzvah. This is the Meiri. Hatam sheyesh mitzvah kala be'einecha shetimashech mimenu pina mipinos haTorah. Kemo shetomar derech mashal shezechiras hayom bekiddush shel Shabbos hu kal be'einecha v'hu davar mashkia bilavavos emunas hachidush shenimshach mimenu. Shenimshach mimenu, sorry, gamkein emunas shinui atavayim. Nimsa sheyotze mimenu ma sheyotze me'inin ha-Pesach gamkein. B'chein ki yotze bazeh. Meaning, there's, you know, the value of the performance, the schar v'onesh, there's the value of it intrinsically. But there's also, you know, sometimes the Musar Haskel or the, you know, what it is, the kiyum that it conveys, you know, that can be, you know, foundational. Similarly, like there are mitzvos that are, you know, infrastructurally, you know, very important, you know, in terms of like the framework, you know, etc. You know, even if as like standalones, you know, they don't have necessarily as much value, you know, as another. So that's like another way of understanding the Mishnah, Havezar b'mitzvah kala k'b'chamura, meaning if, even if there is a kala and a chamura, you know, in some respects, you know, the Zahir part isn't just about, you know, Yiras Hashem or being a mitzuveh. It's also about recognizing that, you know, even within the hierarchy, you know, there are different functions, and, you know, that, you know, in some of its dimensions, you know, the hierarchy isn't absolute. And similarly, you have this other view of Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, which says there is a hierarchy, right? But, you know, typically when people are exposed to a hierarchy, so their human response is to kind of relegate the lower, you know, members, you know, to a different place, you know, and to treat them differently. So of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, this is referring to Rabbeinu Tam, apparently, Hiflig b'davarav, b'nasan tam l'davar chazak mizeh. V'amar she'ein adam yodeh matan skarin shel mitzvah kama hu gadol, sh'afilu hi mitzvah kala, schara gavoa ad lamala. Right? V'hev v'zoyer shelo tafsid revach gadol kamohu. Kinin shamru ki kare kansi par lefanecha, my mitzvah ki isar amr Torah lemani tavlach, laolam shekula tov arachta yamim, laolam shekula arach, kavachomer lemitzvah schamura shebetorah. So, what he's quoting is a little bit of a different, not the difference between, oh, we can have a mitzvah kala, which sometimes is like the mafteach, infrastructurally or otherwise, to understanding, you know, other ones that are, you know, other concepts or even other mitzvos. What he's saying is, there's a hierarchy, even soon there's a hierarchy, but the assumption that therefore, you know, the lower, it's like the way the Ritva explains the concept of, you know, Devarim Gedolim and Devarim Ketanim. You know, the Gemara in Sukkah says, you know, that seems to say that, you know, Havayas, Tavai, Varava are Devarim Ketanim, you know, relative to like Maisa Merkava, you know, which is Devarim Gedolim. So this, of course, triggered a whole fascinating, you know, discussion. The Rajba denies the whole thing. He says that's not the pshat at all. The Ritva says, yeah. He says, but it's all relative to, you know, Maisa Merkava. He says, you know, the impression to walk away from is not that Havayas, Tavai, Varava are Devarim Ketanim. It's, you know, just to be staggered, I guess, and, you know, inspired, you know, by the, you know, existence of something that could maybe even be, you know, of greater significance, you know, Maisa Merkava, most of which, or to most people at least, of which, and probably to all people to some extent, is just not even accessible. So he says, you know, Havayis Dabai Barav are pretty much off the charts, you know. You can't even begin, like, to appreciate, you know, their value. So what the Gemara meant to say was not, you know, play fast and loose, you know, either in fact or even as attitudinally with Havayis Dabai Barav. He was saying the opposite, like, you know, there's also something else out there which is, you know, extraordinary, because we know the value of Havayis Dabai Barav. Again, Rajba thinks that even that's not acceptable. But, so that's pretty much what Rabbeinu Yonah is quoting here. There could be a hierarchy, and what the Mishnah is telling us is, but all of this is Dvar Hashem, you know, it's all a basis for, you know, as, you know, we'll continue with Akiva's theme of Cheirus, right? It's all of, you know, the foundation or the recipe for a meaningful, you know, life. So, you know, even if these are the Kalos, you know, have a Zohar, because, you know, you just don't know that we can't Hiflig B'dvarav V'nasan Tam Ein Adam Yodea Matan Tzcharin Shal Mitzvos, you know, Kama, you know, Kama Hugado. So I think that's a very important idea. That's different than what I was saying about Rabbeinu Yonah. It's different than what I was saying about the Meiri. But these are all like ways of very different. They're all on the same wavelength, different than, you know, there's a hierarchy. We just don't want you to know it. Although, again, when you think about it, the reason we don't want you to know about it is probably for some of these reasons. Meaning, like, what's wrong when you think about the Pardes, you know, Mashal? So, like, why shouldn't you spend all your time, you know, on the Devarim, you know, Gedolim? So, whether that means Maisa Merkava versus Savayis Tavai Barava, if you had access, or it means in terms of, like, mitzvos, or Ilanos, you know, like, why not tell us, and, you know, then we would be able to, you know, focus. But it's like, you know, giving all your tzedakah to one cause. It doesn't take into account, you know, the fact that the totality of the system also creates balance, that the totality of the system is supportive, you know, of the individual, you know, components, you know, the infrastructure issues, in other words, the framework, you know, the mashal of, you know, shasagidim and ramach, you know, evarim. So, you know, it's just like having hierarchies in anything, you know. No one ever says, you know, you have to know what they are and you have to treat them very seriously. But the idea that, you know, they become the exclusive focus, that ends up being a, you know, that ends up being a very eviscerated, you know, Yahadus, you know, Torah Hashem Tamima, you know, Mishivas Nafesh, and also has the meaning, and, you know, the idea of Shleimus, you know, is the idea of being committed, you know, to the totality of it. You know, when in the Aseres HaDibros, you know, the Chazal say that that all the Aseres HaDibros, you know, were, Rashi quotes this also from the Medrash, were articulated or enunciated in some way, like bevasachas, you know, and then each one was spelled out, you know, separately. And then Rav Sadia Gaon and the Ramban say that, you know, each of the Aseres HaDibros, you know, is also like a foundation, you know, for the rest of Tariyag Mitzvahs. So, like, it always troubled me, like, what's the point of these things? But that is the point. The point is that you have, like, the individual obligations, and you also have, you know, the totality of obligations. And that's why it's very important, even if you knew the hierarchy, not to neglect, you know, the rest, because when you do that, you undermine even the, you know, the zenith of the hierarchy. And you certainly don't fulfill, you know, the corporate totality of it, you know, and, you know, that becomes a huge problem. But for the other Mefarshim, so I think that's the key, and you would even risk, like, Osek Mitzvah, Patur Mitzvah, you know, improperly, maybe, that's the implication, right, because that's so important. Again, the Rambam doesn't spell all this out, but I'm kind of adding it in. But for for the Me'iri and the second day of Rabbeinu Yonah, and we'll see in a moment the Tash Beitz, you know, and in the light of Rabbeinu, the other Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, even the Mishnah itself isn't even telling you that. It's not, you know, the Torah isn't holding back, you know, because the consequences to explicating are going to, you know, in some respects, are going to be adverse. It's more that there's another, you know, either the total truth, you know, is simply the very maximalist view that all mitzvos as Dvar Hashem are, of infinite practical value, practically of infinite value, or, you know, that at least, you know, we should be, you know, perceiving it that way and treating it that way. So, again, as I said, there's an overlap between these two broad approaches, but they're still very different ways to read the Mishnah. Yeah?
Doesn't saying this a little bit presuppose, like, this censure, a little bit, like, presuppose distrust in, like, the adherence?
In
the adherence. Like, why couldn't we...
Which way?
We were just saying for the Rambam and Rashi. In other words, that's for sure...
I'm saying for Rambam and Rashi, there is a hierarchy. We don't want you to know it because... Right. But I'm also saying that probably that's because, like, why not? Why don't you just...
Right.
Why don't you just do, you know, only those... Like, what would be so bad? You have limited time and resources, you know, focus on them. So I'm saying, I think implicitly, because there is this understanding, you know, that that the totality of it and the interrelationships, you know, and the values of all three things, of each, you know, even of the kalos, you know, still have an important role to play.
So then why don't we tell people all of that? In other words...
Right, so I think, no, psycho, right, so...
That's what I'm saying.
Right, there does seem to, I guess, that I think, so, and I wouldn't say that, you know, this reflects, like, a very, you know, a negative view of, you know, of...
Sorry.
No, it's okay. just trying to figure it out. You know, like a lack of faith in people, you mean? Is that what you're saying?
That's an extreme way of saying it, but kind of like why...
Oh, you said censure. You said something like that. What did you say?
Yeah, like why even go so far? In other words, like
I think there's an understanding of human nature.
That's what it is?
And I think so, and you know, and people, like if you tell people this is the most important thing to do, this is what they'll do. You know, not so that people aren't maybe as nuanced as they should be.
People.
Say, oh, you know, this is the most important thing, but it's, you know, within the framework of doing it all, and there are, like, you know, facets of, like, it's already complicated.
I can respond to that, though, like, frankly, when you don't tell people what the important ones are, they kind of create their own structure.
I hear that. Right, I hear that. And that is true.
Right.
That is true. Maybe that's why the Rambam's giving a little hints, you know, here and there. Although, again, on the los asay part, I think is interesting. Even the los asay part, I say, I don't think is so pashut in that, you know, there could be more than one reason. Let me just say something about that quickly. There could be more than one reason why you have a chom or onesh, right? So this is, like, known a little bit, like, in the world of, you know, ein onshin, you know, Minadin, for example. So, broadly speaking, we find in different places, like, different explanations of what that is. Like, why ain't Onshin Minadin? Right? So, some of Farshim say, the Marshas and others, like, oh, because you just can't rely on your intellect. You know, there could be factors that you don't know about, you know, that aren't revealed, or just there could be a fallacy or a fault in your thinking. So, you know, ain't Onshin Minadin. The stakes are too high when it comes to Onshin, ain't Onshin Minadin. Okay, very reasonable. However, others suggest that ein onshin min hadin, because you know, it's the onshim are a little bit complicated, in the sense that, you know, there's a kapara aspect, you know, to onshim. So sometimes onshim are a kula. You know, again, some years ago we learned Sanhedrin. I don't know if anybody's still around. Anybody around from Sanhedrin?
So we
Abraham goes around
Sanhedrin? That was our first year.
Yeah? Yeah. Remember the Marie Bayram and Maral Bach? They got a lot of
which
Mondays.
Part of it?
Yeah, which part of it? That was our Monday
show. That was my Monday. That's what I said. That was my Monday. Yeah. Anyway, so in the exchange, so in the exchange between the Maral Bach and the Marie Bayram, you know, so let me explain what it is. So the you know, in the 16th century, based on the Rambam's famous comment, you know, in Pirshei Mishnayos, and a couple of places in Bechoros and in Sanhedrin, and also Perek Aleph Hilchos Sanhedrin, you know, the Rambam has this very famous thing about you know. Chiddush Asmicha. Ram said that if all of Chachmei Yisrael, Rov Chachmei Yisrael, whatever it is, you know, Be'eretz Yisrael, were to agree to reinstitute Smicha, that would be like it's a sensational Chiddush. And so it's, you know, it's basically yearly. It's, you know, where does it get it from? What does it mean? It's like a sensational, bold Chiddush. Ram thought that it has to be that way because, you know, without the Sanhedrin, you can't have, you know, Yimos HaMashiach. We lost the Ish Mipi Ish Yimos Rabbeinu, so there has to be a way. And then he kind of reconstructed, and like it's just a very fascinating chapter. And it doesn't make a difference for now. But so that's the Rambam's Kiddush. Anyway, so in the 16th century, there was this massive, it's like not so well known, I don't know why, but it was, at the time it was known. I mean, it's, in the 16th century, there's this massive Bikuach, you know, about whether they should try to reinstitute Smicha based on the Rambam's, you know, Kiddush. And all the great, you know, Gedolim, especially in Eretz Yisrael at the time, you know, the Yerushalayim ones and the Tzfat ones, you know, all the big people, the Marie Bayram, the Rav Bach, and the Beis Yosef, and everybody was involved in the Mabit, and, you know, the Radva, everybody was, like, involved in this. You know, took sides on this question. It was like a very heated debate. Anyway, so there's also like a kuntres that came out, an exchange, you know, a debate. It's part of the debate between, you know, Marie Bayram and the Rav Bach. So at one point, you know, they're talking about, oh, like, you know, it would be so amazing to bring back Smicha. We bring back Smicha, you know, we can have Malkus again. You know, like, can't wait. So, like, you know, how much should we anticipate that? So, like, you know, I guess if you're going to be the recipient of the Malkus, you might be a little bit hesitant. So, but again, the reason I'm telling you this is that part of the discussion was the question of Kapara. Right? As people see Malkus, you know, obviously very unpleasant if you have to endure it. Right? You know what I mean? Some people, you know, give themselves Malkus before the, you know, before Yom Kippur. I'm not saying we do. But, you know, so obviously it's very unpleasant. But the advantage to Malkus, you know, is that it's a mechanism of kapara, which is not a small thing. So Onshim, that's what some of the Farshim point out, but Ein Onshim and Adin, they say, listen, we believe, you know, I don't know if they say this part, but, you know, we will rely on human logic. You know, that isn't the issue or the problem. The problem is that, you know, Onshim are not all Chumras. You know, they have a Kula, you know, part to them. The more Chumra the Onesh, the more the Kapara. So that's a very interesting, you know, issue. There's another aspect of Onshim, which is also, you know, complicating, and that is sometimes onshim are there for a deterrent. They don't necessarily reflect, doesn't have to necessarily reflect the chomer, you know, ha'isar, unless you want to say that, you know, we're particularly keen, you know, on deterring, you know, things that are very chomer. But we can also be very, you know, keen to deter things that are common, or that we're, you know, concerned people are going to abuse, and in some cases that they're going to abuse because they're, you know, they're maybe kalos, and therefore people don't take them seriously enough. You know, it's in the same way, mashalamad davardomeh, you know, that, like, you know, what is the significance of multiple, you know, azharos, or multiple lavin, you know? And that, you know, the Rambam already says in Sefer Mitzvos, and I'm sure people said it before him, and it's just logical. You know, sometimes you pile on, you know, the Isurim or the Azharos, because, you know, the stakes are so great, meaning it's such a Chamor thing and you really want to make sure that people don't do it. And sometimes it's because, you know, the drive, the compulsion to do it is so strong that you just have to, you know, constantly, you know, beat the drum, you know, against it. And that's a second reason. And a third reason is sometimes it's actually so people perceive it, and maybe it even is, you know, less, you know, compelling or less Chamor. You know, and it's like, you know, the, you know, Akev, you know, Dvarim Shahakev, you know, Dashbahem. So that's why sometimes you have to. So Onshim doesn't have to be, of course, it makes sense, all things being equal. If somebody said to me, like, you know, likely have to pick one, I mean, what's, you know, Chomer HaOnesh going to reflect? Of course, the first thing we would think of would be, you know, the quality of the Onesh, you know, the Chomer HaOnesh. But, you know, as a single principle, you know, I think, you know, it's open to question for the reasons that we're discussing. Yeah.
Maybe like Mitzad and Mitzubeh, and like from a name of the Rahmana perspective, you could say that inherently whichever one Hashem gave this Chomer Onesh for, we have to view from a certain perspective as more Chomer.
Say that one more time?
Maybe from the
meaning it's a, as a, you're saying it has its own momentum, it own,
right.
creates its own reality?
Like a simmon to some other metaphysical.
You mean it becomes more of a mered because the onesh is greater? I think that's something to think about. But I mean, I can hear that. I mean, that it has its own momentum, its own, it creates its own reality. Like, oh, you violated a skila? Like, is, ooh, worse than, oh, you violated a kares. But I don't think it's mukrach to say that. And I still think you can say yesh v'yesh. But you're saying, oh, that would be like a way, if that were true, and it does have, you know, it definitely has a force of logic to it. You're saying that would kind of like eliminate some of these other things, because you'd always have that in addition.
Right. Maybe as a way.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, unless he always thinks that, you know, maybe Azharos or own, or, you know, Minyan and Mitzvos, the other things, you know, apply to. But Onshim, that's the, you know, that's always about the Chomer. That's the other possibility. Right, but I hear that. I think it's an interesting idea either way. Yeah.
Is the complexity that arises from the factor of Kapara, is that that it's, if we give a more Chomer Onesh, then it necessarily grants more Kapara, but they don't deserve the Kapara? Or that
I don't know if they don't deserve the kapara, but either way you get, meaning, if assuming that like a harsher onesh gives you more kapara, like neutralizes the avera more, it's still beneficial even if you deserve it.
Right?
And I'm saying you don't have access to it without it, is what I'm trying to say.
Are we worried about the person that we don't want to go too hard on them? Or that, are we worried?
What do you mean?
Meaning, if they don't really deserve to get such a painful punishment, we're giving it to them anyways, and they're not even.
No, I'm only saying that. Let's say, in other words, the assumption that the more chomor, if there's an onesh, as opposed to if there's no onesh, or a concrete onesh, let's say, or the chomer ha-onesh, as opposed to a more kal onesh, which is what the Rambam's saying. I mean, the Rambam has. I just didn't read it because I was, you know, trying to save time, but so. You know, heim shmona madregos. Hamadrega rishona gazola shabem im dvarim shachayom leim skila. Hamadrega shalamata sreifa. Hashlishis, he's talking about hereg. You know, harvias chenek. Hamishis kares. Hashishis chayvim isabide shamayim. Hashvias chayvim alkios. Hashminis lav shein lokan aleim. You could have said, by the way, that there are levels of that too. Like, what, maybe is there a difference between, like, lav shein bamaisa, lav anita glase. You know, and so on and so forth. That's actually interesting too. Ela madregos neda chomer ha'avon v'kaluso. I'm just saying it doesn't have to be that way, because it could be that, you know, in some things, part of the chesed is, you know, to give you, you know, a free slate. Again, after, you know, a very chomer onesh, maybe for olam haba, but maybe that's still better. And then, and I'm just noting that that's how some people interpret. No, they don't. So I'm not sure. Asking more. Yeah, okay, but if he gets that, then he's worthy to get it. I'm not. It's not to me. The issue isn't whether he's ro'oi or not. It's can you use onesh and chomer ha-onesh, you know, as like a fail-safe, foolproof way of like grading, you know, or valuing, you know, the aveir. Right, I'm just saying that like throws like if you ask me, like as I said, I don't want to, you know, overstate all of this either. So if somebody said to me like it makes sense to you, you know, that that onshim are all about, you know, kapara or some of these other or you know, or frequency or ubiquity or, you know, of aveira or da, I would say of course not. I mean, not that doesn't make sense to me, but that like that exclusively it's that. For sure, like the primary, you know, factor in the chomer of an onesh, all things being equal, I'll stop in a minute, would be, you know, the chomer. I'm just saying it doesn't always have to be that way. I would have said the same thing about, even though I'm perfectly willing to be Mechale, but it'll take a parallel question about multiple, like why is there not say analav, and why are there multiple lavin, and why, you know, or as haros, even if they aren't, you know. Why is the Torah speaking about the dam so many times? Why is it speaking about araya so many times? You know, is it because of the chomer hadavar, or is it because that's chazal debate this point? Is it the chomer hadavar, or is it because it's so easy to, you know, to be nichshal, or is it because like people think, you know, who's going to fall for that? You know, so they just, it's not on the radar screen, so you just have to remind them it really is an issue and a problem. Well, such different reasons. But I think, you know, on the default and on the, you know, rove, you know, unless you're just like a contrarian, you would agree that, of course, there should be some sort of connection. Mostly there's a correlation between the onesh and the chomer hadavar. But having said that, you know, anyways, so I think it's a really interesting issue. I said the Rabbeinu Yonah perspective, the Meiri perspective, a little the Rabbeinu Yonah not from here, but the second Rabbeinu Yonah is the one from here. But whatever. And I think also just to conclude, and I want to stop in a minute because I'm going to overtime. But, you know, with the Magen Avos here for the moment, of the Rashbats, who says that in his opinion, Kalos and Chamuros are, you know, he goes further, in other words, but further again in this other perspective. But for him, Kalos and Chamuros are like, you know, people's perceptions. You know, and even good people's perceptions, but it really is fundamentally wrong. I don't know whether this is a simple pshat of the Mishnah, but I think it's a very important perspective. Right? Number one, Rav Nasan, Ein Lecha Mitzvah, according to Rav Nasan, Ein Lecha Mitzvah Kala, Shem Matan Schara, Balam HaZehu, Balam Abba. Okay? But then he says, Vani Omer, this is the Rashbats talking, Shalom Nasan Tam Ze Ela Ladaton Shel Brios. Sheheim rotzim lasas hamitzvos mipnei sheikablo aleim schar. V'zeh lemi sheyesh biyado shtei mitzvos lasas sheibinod mishkal is a chamur v'ez a kala v'yazoriz b'kalachas mehen. Aval lemishu oseik b'mitzvos. I just think this is an amazing line, right? Einanu tzrichim l'tam zeh. Lefi, I don't know, yeah. When he says "einu tzrichim l'tam zeh," I'm not sure if he means like, you know, we don't need any of this, even though it still may be true. I think what he's really saying is like, you know, it's not necessarily true, and we don't even need to think in these terms. That's what I think he's saying. Lefi shehaoved esadonav, right? This language is amazing. Ein mutolos olav avoda acheres. He's trying to explain, as you'll see in a moment, osek mitzvah patur mina mitzvah, right? Be'es shehu oved oso. Meaning, and this is not a kula, I mean it is a kula, but it's a chumra hamavia, you know, lide kula. What he's saying is that, you know, any mitzvah, you know, the involvement in any mitzvah is, you know, is of, you know, of sufficient magnitude that, you know, it's poter yumi mitzvah acheres. You know, there should be like a focus on what you're doing. Vimeniach osa avoda afapi shehi kala v'pnei avoda acheres afapi shehi chamura hare zilzel ba'avoda shehi biyado. Right? imishlima velo hishkiach lavoda acheras. I mean, whatever comes first, even if it is kal, it's not so clear whether he's acknowledging kal. But even if it were to be kal, and the truth is, that's why I say what the Rambam says. In addition to being mechudash ki'ilu, because he's saying that at some level you're making a sacrifice or you're taking a risk, you know, which on a certain objective level may not be appropriate. It's just that it's worth it, you know, in the longer run. The Tashbetz is saying that's not true at all. So even in the more, let me say it this way, even if there are like clear kalos and chaburos, and even if they matter, let's say they even matter in terms of like triage, like you have open in front of you a kal and a chamur, right? And you know, you would be obligated, let's say, to pick the chamur. You know, but you still could say that osik mitzvah patam mitzvah means that, you know, once you are involved, once you're in the framework of doing even the mitzvah kala, you know, even if, you know, it from a decision point of view, if you had them both in front of you, you know, you wouldn't have done, but just still the value of the chafzishal mitzvah, of the maisa mitzvah, whether it's because of zilzul to drop it, or just the inherent value of any and all mitzvahs, and kind of in the way that Rabbi Yonah was quoting the second daya, even if there are kalos and chaburas, but you know, once or number three, this is something that, you know, some of the Rishonim say in Osik Mitzvah Patra Mitzvah. And that is that, like, you know, the chi of a mitzvah is when you're free, you know. Or, that's like one way of saying it. The other way of saying it is, you know, when you're immersed in another mitzvah, you know, so, you know, that's your whole world at this point, you know, in time. Either way, I mean, the mitzvah in Sukkah, you know, talks about osik mitzvah patam la mitzvah, you know, establishing that the second mitzvah is like a reshus, becomes like a reshus and not a chum. Very interesting. And of course it's connected to the whole Bali Tosis versus like the Orzarua and the Ran, you know, whether osik mitzvah patam la mitzvah is kind of like, you know, hutra dechuya in the sense of, is it only b'yafshar lasos, so, you know, shneihem, or not. So I think it's a very interesting vimishlima velo ishgiach. He's saying hare zilzo bavoda shibiado vimishlima velo ishgiach lavona acheras hare hishlim ritzon aviv kira'ui umitam zed. This is also very interesting and also very controversial. Niftaru nashim bavadim mimitzasei shazman grama. He thinks that mitzasei shazman grama nashim p'turos is osek mitzvah patar na mitzvah. There is a line like that also in the Or Zeruah, the Marach or Zeruah, but it's questionable whether that really is the right formulation, but he's saying it too. Shekivin shehutla aleihem avoda acheres, right, niftaru me'osan mitzvahs. Upirish mitzvah kala, she kala be'enav, kama mitzvah sukkah, shekaru v'rishon b'avadazara, you know, mitzvah kala, right? Lefi shein b'chisaron kis, v'chein mitzvah tzitzis, karu perakat cheles, mitzvah kala she'en amal v'yegia. Aval ha-mitzvos mitzad atzman ein lomar bahem kala v'chamura. So it's not clear in the Tashbetz is, like, is he kind of saying that there are kalas v'chamuras, but it practically never matters, you know, because it's kind of a little bit, you know, built on, like, that second view in Rabbeinu Yonah and the name of Rabbeinu Tam, and, or, you know, once you're involved in any mitzvah, so, you know, that's called Esik v'mitzvah, and you're not mechuyev, or the feed that you are in is so overriding. Is that what he's saying, or is he really, really saying, you know, that kalos and chamuros are just, you know, people's usage? It's not based on nothing, you know, but it's really a perception, and mostly it's not, you know, even real or authentic in the world of mitzvahs themselves. That's a little unclear, you know, in the Tashbetz. But either way, just to bring this, you know, home. So I think that, you know, these are very different understandings of the Mishnah. A lot of them, again, are overlapping. Some of them are, you know, arguing. I think the issues that they bring up are really very important. But, you know, the takeaway for, you know, the common denominator of all of them, you know, is this notion of, you know, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'zakos Es Yisrael. And again, not in a pragmatic way, but in a... you know, in the sense of providing like a life of meaning, like to have comprehensive, ways to relate to the Rabbona Shalom in our lives, and in all aspects of our lives. And that affects things like osik mitzvah, patron mitzvah, and, mitzvah baliyadcha, al tak mitzena, and this reason, and noi and shlemo, some of the things we talked about last time. To see, as again the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, I was like to point out, talks about in the end of Makos, the first parak, the end of Makos, the third parak, that we talks about Ratzon Kadosh Baruch Hu Zakas Yisrael Lepikach Hakir B'Lehem Torah, talks also about people finding their niche. He understands it as like, there's so much to choose from, you could specialize in what you want. So of course he doesn't mean that you should ignore, chamuras for kalos, that begins what he says here. And he doesn't mean that you should only do the ones that, you have a particular affinity towards. What he means is that an additional benefit of the, multitude is that there are multiple opportunities that not only are comprehensive to your life, but, allow you also to find your niche, in Avodas Hashem. And I think that's a very important perspective also, kind of developing your own, within, being a mitzvah and being committed to anything and everything. But of course, for some people it's Talmud Torah, for other people it's Chesed, for other people it's something else. And as long as it's done in a balanced and good way. But this is really all the contribution of HaChodesh Hazeh Yeh Lachem, and Nisan really introduced, and Chagamatzos, in such a big way, this whole notion of being a mitzvah, being a ben chorin, which is osek b'Torah v'mitzvos, and Chagamatzos and Chagapesach, both highlight that in a really magnificent way, and they give us added appreciation for the opportunities, and especially really finding a way to dedicate our time and our efforts and our lives, and making them filled with purpose. Good. So we'll. Was there any questions before I adjourn? Looks good. We'll have a mincha. Sorry, it took longer than I thought. Right. But, yeah. We'll have a mincha. And tomorrow, back to Hokeyusha. And the robbers.